Right. Take your Bible with me this morning and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to go back to some basics this morning. You know, you think about this. Go Saints. Go Tigers. Hook 'em horns. Roll Tide. How come we can get excited and holler all about that, but we come to church and we act like we're dead? Because you done shouted it all out Saturday, maybe? I know football's over with for now, but there's NASCAR and whatever else cranks your tractor. But, you know, I think Baptist is going to be ashamed when we do get around that throne. Because if there's one thing rare as hen's teeth, it's a shouting Baptist. Amen? You might think, oh, if I shout, I'm going to be a Pentecostal. Baptist was shouting hundreds of years before Pentecostals were ever a denomination. But what's happened to us? We've lost our shout, I fear, sometimes. Amen? I don't know about you, but sometimes I just got to shout. Amen? My wife tell me, calm down. She was riding one day, and she was like, calm down, people sitting at the red light think we're arguing. I said, I'm just passionate. We went to Israel. Them Jews are passionate. She said, that's what's wrong with you. I think you're Jewish and didn't know it. Boy, they're all like Italians. I ain't Italian, though. But you know what? If there's anything that we ought to be excited about, it's the gospel. Jesus Christ came and lived and died, was resurrected, ascended back, sits on the throne of thrones. Higher authority than Washington. Amen? Trump might veto something, but hey, he ain't going to veto Jesus. And we sit down here worrying. No shout. No excitement. Hope we can get through. I hope the preacher will be excited today. Well, friend, I don't know about you, but I want to tell you something this morning. The reason we're excited is because Jesus died on the cross for our sins. If it wasn't for that, there would be no good news. Amen? And I want you to look with me what Paul said. He was reminding the church. Moreover, brethren, look at what he says in verse 1 of chapter 15. It all goes back to the gospel. The gospel is reason enough in itself. Whether God gave you a new boat, a new house, or a new job, or whether you got fired this week and your truck broke down and your boat sunk, you ought to still have a shout in you this morning because of the gospel alone. Because if the gospel don't make you shout, there ain't nothing else going to make you shout. That's what's wrong with the church. We got everything the world offers. New air conditioning, sound equipment. But we ain't excited enough about the gospel to shout no more. And I want you to look at this with me. Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preach to you. There ain't nothing else worth preaching. Which also you received and in which you stand. By which also you were saved. And if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all, one translation says, of first importance, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Praise God, Father. We ask you to bless your gospel this morning. Lord, there's dead people in this room. They breathe, they can walk, but they can't know you. They're separated. They know about you, but they don't have you in their heart. I thank you that when there was no way, that religious effort was not enough, that you sent a Savior and He made a way through the cross of Calvary. Lord, today, bless this time of preaching in Jesus' name. Amen. You know what? There ain't a lot of good news today. But the word gospel literally means good news. That's what it means. The gospel in its most simplest form is the good news about what Jesus Christ has done to reconcile sinners to God. Now, we get excited about getting forgiven of our sin. Oh, I got forgiven. But He did more. He didn't just die to forgive us. Forgiveness had a purpose. We were forgiven so that we can be reconciled and be connected to God. You can get forgiven and go back out and get killed in a car wreck. But if you didn't get connected to God, if you didn't get reconciled, the gospel really doesn't have a lot of meaning. I'm good enough to forgive you. But guys, only Christ can reconcile you to our Creator. I want you to think about this. The gospel is called the good news because it addresses the most serious problem that you and I have as human beings. We are separated eternally from the Creator, the holy, almighty God that gave us life, that created us, and you will die in that condition, separated from the origin of life, the source of life, life itself, God the Creator, unless you get saved. Now, you might not think that's a bad thing right now because you've been living your whole life up to this point separated from Him. But you still think in the back of your mind, I have the option. But if you die unsaved, there is no second chance. There is no other opportunity. Today is the day of your salvation. If you hear Him, don't stiffen your neck, don't harden your heart, but come to the one who calls you because He loves you. And friends, I want you to think about this. There's no greater message to be heard than that which we call the gospel. It is good news. And friends, if you look at this, look what Paul says about it. It's the most important thing the church has to offer. It's the most important thing the church can do. We could do everything else, but if we don't preach the gospel, we will fail. And we must preach the gospel. Listen what Paul says right there. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand." If we stand right with God this morning in a relationship where God is pleased with your life, it has nothing to do with what you did. It has to do with what He did for you at the cross. There's no way to stand before God on your own. You must stand before God based on grace that's given to you, not because you deserve it, but because God loves you and wants to know you, and He wants to have a relationship with you. And friends, I don't know about you, but Paul says right there, that's why you stand. Look at verse 2. "By which also you were saved." Saved from what? Saved from sin, but the consequences of sin. What's the greatest consequence of sin is that we are totally separated, unreconciled. We are under the wrath of God instead of under the mercy and grace of God. And so that's what He saved us from. "If you hold fast that word which we preached to you, unless you believed in vain." And then He reminds them, what did I preach to you? I preached to you the gospel. The gospel is not as complicated as many of us have made it. Now, it's a lot to it. You can get doctrinal and you can get deep in theology about all of the things that the gospel did. But basically, Paul gives us the gospel in two verses. He says, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Then He says, "And He was seen by Peter and the other 12. He was seen by over 500 other brethren, who most of them still remain alive. And He was even seen by me." And listen what He says in verse 11. "Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preached and you believed." What did they preach? They preached Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That He died for your sins according to the Scriptures. But because He was God and He was holy and He was righteous and He had not even a single sin, death could not hold Him. And He overcame death. And friend, every one of us is going to face death. I like what old Phil said. Phil said, "I've been looking. I ain't found a better way out of this thing called life than Jesus." You're going to go in the dirt one day. If you stay here long enough, we're going to bury you, or we're going to burn you and put you in a little jar. And then we're going to celebrate your life. And we're going to go back here and eat fried chicken and talk good about you for one day. And after that, you're going to be forgot about around here. But you'll never forget that you are alive. because you'll be living somewhere, either with God or without God. Either in paradise, in a place called heaven, or in condemnation, in a place called hell. That's why the gospel ought to make somebody shout here this morning, church. That's why you ought to be excited enough to tell your family about it. You ought to be telling your neighbor. You ought to be praying for lost people. Because friends, I want to tell you something. Paul said, I delivered to you as of first importance. The King James says, first of all, the first thing I did before we had a meal, before we fellowshiped, before we all got together and did all the things we like to do at church. First of all, I want you to know I delivered to you the most important thing, the gospel. He said, and you received it, and that's why you stand right with God this morning. That's why you're saved. And he said, Christ died for us according to the scriptures. That's of first of all importance. I want you to think about this with me right quick. The gospel alone. Wait, I went too fast. The gospel is not an afterthought or something to be included once in a while in church, but it is of first importance in the heart of all the ministries we do. A lot of us are looking forward to Beast Feast. Oh, we're going to get to eat all kind of good food. But guys, if Beast Feast is only about us gathering together, burning some animals up, and eating them, Beast Feast is a waste of our time. So why do we do Beast Feast? We do Beast Feast because we hope we're going to draw some people who don't come on Sunday. We give away a gun because we want to draw in rednecks. I'm praying for four-wheel drives with dog boxes and trailer hitches that ain't never been on a church premises to be here. I hope they're so far from God when they walk in that they freak some of you out. God, I can't believe he's here. Because I don't know about where you think we ought to put our money, but I think we ought to put our money in creating opportunities to share the gospel. Amen. Not to eat another meal. Not to hear another Bible study that leaves you the same way you came because you ain't going to do what it says anyway. But to get people here that are dying and going to wake up in hell tomorrow if they don't get saved. And friends, I don't know if you realize this, but this is serious business we're in. This ain't play. This ain't just let's go and have a good time and get entertained by Brother Marvin one more Sunday. This is about people who will leave earth either saved and go to heaven or condemned and go to hell. You might be one of them. And why do I preach? I'm glad y'all like me. I'm glad y'all still seem to want to keep me around. But I'm glad y'all want to recognize and bless some of us today. But if you want to bless me, let's get people saved. Let's go to work for the cause of Christ and give our lives as an offering to Him who offered His life for us, who gave His all so that we can have everything that God wants us to have, eternal life. Friends, listen, we get so caught up in our little agendas and our little personal preferences that we forget the most basic thing about why we're here. The gospel. Take away the cross, and I'd go fishing every Sunday. Take away the cross, and I might even learn how to go play golf with Brother Gary. I'd be so bored. But you put the cross in here, and I'm excited. Because the message of the cross is foolishness to those who you are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God for salvation. And I don't know about you, I knelt at the cross one day, and I ain't got the same sense. Now, they all said, he ain't never been normal. Praise God. If normal is what I watch out here, I don't ever want to be normal in church. I want to be so abnormal that people say something had to happen to him. Normal is very overrated. If you've settled for normal, you've belittled the gospel. Because the gospel should make us abnormal. The gospel should make us where we stick out to where we're different than anyone else we work with who doesn't know the gospel. What should draw them to us shouldn't be us. It should be what he did to us and what he's doing through us. Now I want you to think about this. If this is true, it is of first importance because it is through the gospel that God works to take people from death to life. Then I want you to see this, and this is my introduction. The gospel alone is the power of God that saves sinners. Do you believe that? There's nothing else, guys, that we can do or needs to be done except share what God has already done through the good news of Jesus Christ to save people. And friends, you know what happens when we forget that and we make other things more important and we give other things more of our attention? Instead of helping people to know that, we become a hindrance to people knowing that. Because they hear and watch the things that we're focused on more than this. There's nothing more important this morning than someone getting saved. There's nothing more important today than what we do around here with the gospel. Now, I'm glad you wanted to know, what is the gospel then? Because, you know, it blows my mind that you can go ask somebody, what is the gospel? Brother Raymond, what's the gospel? And I'm just picking on you, Raymond. I'm glad you're here, brother. Come back next Sunday. He's smiling. I'm glad to see that. Anybody that smiles on Sunday, we need them here. But you know what? If you was to ask everybody in here, what is the gospel? We would get some unbelievable answers. The truth of the matter is, Brother Shelby, I'm convinced that a lot of people don't know what the gospel is, and that's why you're afraid to share it. Now, if the gospel alone saves us, and this is what Paul said. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God for salvation unto everyone who believes. To the Jew first, but also to the Gentile, the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. That means from what you believe and by trusting it. It's revealed to you the righteousness of God. The only way you can get right with God is through the gospel. It alone is the power of God to save you. Paul said that the message of Christ, the message of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God for salvation. Now, if that's the only way to get saved, and the gospel is the only thing that could have saved you, and you don't even know enough of the gospel to tell me what it is, what saved you? What are you banking your eternity on? A walk down an aisle? A membership on a roll? A dunk in the water? Or the gospel? Now, I know it's simple. Jesus died for my sins, according to the scriptures. And then he was buried like everybody else who died, but he didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave, and now he lives to intercede on the behalf of sinners who he died to save. And it's the Spirit of Christ this morning dealing with one of your hearts. You're not rejecting me. You're not belittling Baptist Church. You rejected Jesus Christ if he's dealing with you this morning, saying, I died for you. I came, I left heaven and come down there and lived amongst you bunch of sinners. Not because I like how you are, but because I love you, because I created you. I made you to be able to have me in your life, but you have not got me in your life. And I can't leave it that way, so I want to reconcile you. So this morning, it's the Spirit that's making you realize I need to make a decision. And every time you reject Him, you're rejecting God. And God came to die for you. He lives today to live for you. You see, not only did He die to save you, but He lives now to help you. You say, well, if I get saved, I don't know if I can do it. You can't do it. But He'll do it through you if you let Him. You see, you live for Jesus. Listen, over and over, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Listen, everybody here knows that Christ died. That's history. But not everyone knows that Christ died for our sins. That's doctrine. And a lot of people that know Christ died for our sins don't really know what that means. Why did He die for our sins? Guys, listen. The Old Testament animal sacrifices all were pointing to Christ and the work that he would do for us through his death on the cross. The whole Old Testament sacrificial system. Over and over and over, you'll hear in the scriptures, Isaiah 53:6 is one of the greatest of the messianic prophecies alluding to the death of the Messiah. And it said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Father decided to lay on Jesus the iniquity. That's the guilt. That's the penalty of our sin all upon him. And we all went astray. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for our sake, God the Father made him the Son to be sin who knew no sin, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. That we might become the righteousness of God through him. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us. He took on our sin so that now we can take on his righteousness. That's what the scriptures say. Listen to what Peter said in 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that's the cross, that he might die to sin and live to righteousness, and by his wounds you have been healed. Friends, listen, it's impossible to be spiritually healed. It's impossible for you to be saved unless Christ takes your sins on himself. For Christ also suffered once for sins, Peter says, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Friends, I don't know about you, but I was getting to share the gospel this week. Brother Johnny took me so far back in the woods, I thought they was bringing me back there to sacrifice me. I said, there ain't nobody lives back here, Brother Johnny. Oh yeah, there's somebody back here. Got me back there, and we got to talking to this old man. And this old man was a seeker. He had a genuine belief and a good, healthy, reverent fear of God. And I'm listening, talking, and I'm praying. And I didn't ride back in them woods just to go see a place maybe to get to hunt. I was looking. Because I was hunting off his turf. So we get to talking to this old guy. And before long, it's apparent that he is a believer in God, but he's a universalist. Do you know what that is? He just believes that as long as you believe in God, that there's many ways to get to him, as long as you're sincere, as long as you're genuine. So I'm listening to him, and I'm saying, Lord, I don't want to offend this man. I'm in his house. He's old. I respect him. Veteran. He's worked. He's an elder. But I can't leave him thinking this. So I start praying. And I said, so you believe that what we believe in God is dependent more on our experience than what he says? Oh, yeah. He said, if I'd have grew up, he said, in Japan, I'd probably be a Buddhist. If I'd have grew up in some, I'd be a Muslim. I'd be a Muslim. I said, so you think, yeah. He said, I think they're all right. I said, well, I just want to ask you something, sir. If we could get right with God by being religious, if Buddha's system, if you did it good enough, could get you saved, or if Allah's system, if you was a good enough Muslim, could get you saved, or if Judaism, keeping the law, could get you saved, why would God send his only begotten Son to die on a cross if you could save yourself? That's why I'm wholeheartedly sold out that Christianity is the only way. Not because of that only, but because Jesus said, I am the only way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father but through me. And the gospel did not happen just to forgive you. The gospel happened so that you can be brought to the Father. You can die forgiven. There's people asked to be forgiven every day and still get divorced. I thank God, God took me back in. Amen. He adopted me. And I've been saved 20-some years and he's still my father. Amen. That's what the gospel does. It makes you His child. And friends, listen. Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's of vital importance. That's why every other religious system won't work, because it's based upon what we do for God. Go to church. Give an offering. Try your best. And then hope for the best. That's what the Catholics told me. Go through our little system. I was brought up. Communion, 6 years old. Confession, 9 years old. Confirmation, 12 years old. Now, if you try real hard and do everything we tell you, you might be all right. And if you're not, and we're worried about you, don't worry. We'll light candles for you, and we'll pray you out of purgatory. Oh, we'll even buy masses in your name. We'll get you out. No, you won't. You can't even get your own self out. And you're going to get me out? The name of one got me out. His name is Jesus. He ain't the Pope. And friends, I want you to know something today. If the Pope could save us, God would let him save us. He wouldn't have let Jesus leave heaven, the innocent, perfect Lamb of God, be slain. The wicked hands of sinful men perpetrated on him the most evil, corrupted way of death ever devised by man. Crucifixion. Torture. So that his wounds could heal us. You see, why did he have to die such a hideous death? To me, that must be how much God don't like sin. If you've got a problem with that, look, that's how much God don't like sin. Now, this is the problem with the gospel. The only thing that can pay the price for your sin is Jesus' death on the cross. And guys, listen. But Jesus died, and unlike anybody else, Buddha, Muhammad, the Pope, them popes might be venerated and given sainthood, but ain't none of them come out the ground yet. Right. Amen? You can still go find Muhammad. He got bones if there any left. They can show you right where they laid him. I went over to Israel. They got a place they say it's the tomb. We went in it, but they ain't found no Jesus. Jesus is alive. Jesus will save you this morning. He'll help you tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know Jesus has got them. They're under His hands. And I don't know about you, but life ain't perfect, but since I got Jesus, it's been pretty good. It's a lot better than without Him. You might say, well, I've been doing all right. I ain't talking about doing all right. I'm talking about being blessed. Even when it ain't all right, I lay down at night and say, thank you, Jesus. Tomorrow's a new day, and new every day are your mercies. Lord, I'm crying tonight, but I'm going to be shouting one day. Lord, I don't know what is going to happen tomorrow, but Lord, I know where my eternity lies. Not based on me or some other fallible human, but it's based upon Jesus, who died for me, who raised himself from the dead, who ascended back to the place where he's at the right hand of the Father, saying, Father, he's mine. I'll take care. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go. How about you? This morning, the question is, are you ready to go? You know, this is by far my favorite thing to preach about. I wanted to preach at some things that's been getting my attention, and God said, don't preach at that. Just preach the gospel. You know what? The devil's constantly trying to distract us from that, which is the most important thing. The gospel. You know, I could sit and take the book of Romans, and I'm going to do that and preach through the book of Romans in one sermon and show you the gospel, how I think it's laid out and explained in the greatest theological work in the New Testament through the Apostle Paul, and showing you the gospel and faith, justification, and saved by grace and not by works. But guys, you don't have to know all that to be saved. You only have to know this. God Let me tell you what you got to know about God. In the beginning, before anything else, God. What did God do? God said, let there be. And that's where you came from. Now, if that's where you came from and he created you, he has the right to have authority over you. Amen? That's why them leftists hate authority. No one wants to have God, because if you got God, you're going to answer to him. And God created us and created mankind in his image, his highest thing in creation. He created us with the intellectual ability to have knowledge of him and to have a relationship with him. Why? So that we can bring glory to him. We have more potential and more God-given ability to bring glory to him than anything else in all of creation. Creation in itself testifies that he created all this. But we chose in our foolishness and our sinfulness to worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. And so we said, we're more important than God. But what happened? We all sinned and we fell short of the glory of God. That which was given the most.